Clubhouse.
This is the true story. True story of two sassy friends picked to co-host a podcast
and have their thoughts recorded
to find out what happens.
What?
When people stop being polite.
Did you silence your phone?
And start getting real. The Real World Podcast. This is Caroline.
Hey, this is Aisha.
And today we're talking Real World Homecoming New York. This is episode 4, Starting Over.
Starting over. In so many ways.
Oh my goodness. You know, the line that I take away from this entire episode was, leave room for miracles.
Oh, really?
Heather, you little soothsayer. I feel like she's got the bones like I got the bones. Like, right? She's so about it.
My favorite line was, you know, clear out that bad juju and get the good juju in there.
I loved that. Sage for the good juju.
Also, she's a grown-ass woman.
Right?
Don't be chasing after grown-ass women.
Ooh-wee. Heather has some
all the
good
time.
Ones, right? Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. I mean, I felt her in many ways on this episode. Just like she's wise, but she also sits back and listens.
I really appreciated the fact that she writes out these little gratitude moments.
No, I know you love that part.
I was eating it up with a spoon when she says she has this like two sides, like what she knows and what she learned.
This is very Oprah.
Mama Oprah would be so proud.
Very, very proud.
Okay, so Heather was not the main theme of this episode. However, her and Eric got a lot of nice screen time.
Yeah, I think they needed it.
Yeah, we had to balance out some sadness going on.
Yeah, I love their relationship, honestly.
Talk to me. What do you see between Eric and Heather?
I just love that she calls him E-Nice. What's up, E-Nice?
Oh my God, so cute.
Like forever calling him E-Nice.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know. I mean, you could tell, you know, back in 92, and excuse me for my terrible voice. It's always scratchy, but...
It's the pollen, people.
It's the pollen.
It's called allergies.
The allergies. Even back in 1992, their relationship was adorable, fun, and like playful. And I love that he took her braids out.
No.
And just, you know, one of those like true, like just like homie relationships.
I think that's a huge deal. Now, I am not a person of color, and I know that braids are a very big deal, but I am a vain woman,
right,
who cares a lot about my hair.
About your scalp.
And so if some man was actually helping me do something with a hairdo, that's
right?
A lot of trust.
That's a lot of trust. It
a
is.
A lot of trust. I really respect that their relationship was at that level. I spend a lot of time saying, don't touch my hair.
Right? Don't even go for it. Don't put your hand close.
On it? Oh,
she could
God.
Be a woman of color almost, because, you know, like we have that like that little neck move where if somebody's trying to come in and try to touch you, you have to like jump out the way.
Yeah.
Like, oh no, don't do that. Don't do it.
I thought their relationship was a nice balance of, you know, them bickering in the past, but then them showing just like how they softened over time. And boy, did I not appreciate Eric's story. I mean, the background of everything he came from. They had explained in one of the very first episodes that, you know, he was in the grind. He had moved forward into the entertainment industry. But I had no idea about this whole manager swindle situation.
I knew he was popular, and I knew that, like, you know, it opened tons of doors for him. But I didn't really know it was that big, you know, that he really, like, was around everybody back in that day. Like, I mean, he was posing with Michael Jordan. He was with,
I know,
you know, all these big stars and like and celebrities and stuff during the 90s. Yeah, to be just totally robbed, like
it's
cleared
terrible.
Out and just kind of, and when he's at the kind of the peak of his career, and I think almost to like bring him to his knees, to almost wanted to commit suicide. That's really sad.
That was painful. When he said that part, I was like, oh my gosh, like that's awful and horrible that people can be so terrible to one another.
Yep.
You know, I especially felt so much that, you know, Heather was just talking to him the whole time, even through this like COVID time now, you know,
where
he still seems like this guy who needs like extra love, extra like nurturing. When she was like, she goes, my juju says more soup, boo.
I
was
like, you need more soup. You need
oh
more soup.
My goodness. His little face was like so like, And she was like, you look snuggly. I was like, we talk about this every podcast, how snuggly he looks.
He looks so snuggly.
He looks snuggly.
Like, I would snuggle him and get COVID.
Oh, no.
Hands down.
Oh, no.
Just putting it out there. Just
oh,
so
my
you know.
Gosh.
I mean, I'd go for it. I'm sorry.
You would? You get right in that E-Nice?
Up in that E-Nice.
Oh, my God.
Wait, first of all.
Yes.
Do we know if he's in a relationship or married?
You know, to be honest with you,
status, Eric.
I have not seen whether he said he's in any type of relationship at all. So,
guess I'm not that big of a fan. I need to look.
I think you just like to maintain that he's single and available, ready to mingle. Pretend.
Because if he was really like with somebody, they would be calling on him, checking on him daily. They'd show up.
That's funny. I never thought about that one. I suppose that's true. Although, you know, we have had very minimal calls from home.
True, true.
For some reason,
because it's only been like 3 days.
You know, right?
I mean, honestly, it's been a weekend, people.
You should be able to go that long without having everyone call you, blow up your phone.
Maybe 4 days.
I don't know.
Episode 4, I'm assuming it's like day 3 going into 4.
I like that.
You know?
That works.
So like, it's really, come on.
Yeah. The other person that we got to delve a little bit deeper in our background is Heather. And I did not realize how long her music career had gone.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they said it went from 96 to 2002. That was a surprise. I didn't realize that.
Two albums, though, only.
Yeah. You know, when they go back, I had remembered the song she was singing from, and I'm saying song, but I guess it was like a rap that she was rapping, back like when they showed the footage in the studio.
Yeah, I remember.
Oh my goodness. It was very, what do I want to say? Like socially conscious.
Yeah,
and
it
really
was.
Trying to send a message. And yeah. I appreciated all that. Her heart has stayed true. Even when she was young and definitely more silly and wanting to party and wanting to be young and stuff, she still like had this really straight like path of like gratefulness and taking care of others. And like she, that was always her heart.
I just love that she was always like live life to the fullest. You know, yes. I think these are all things that she's learned as she's gotten older, obviously, you know, as we get older and we start like getting experience under our belts and figuring it all out. Like you realize that like life is short, you know, she's living life. I'm not going to like harp on just these little things and get bogged down on the day-to-day crap. Like I'm going to live my life and I'm going to do it as much as I can. So I adore her for that. I love the fact that she's doing this happy hour. She expresses her love through food, through conversation, through comedy and her, it's not really a comedy show, but you could tell they laugh.
Such a good sense of humor.
They laugh. They have fun. They're on the radio. You know what I mean? When they liquor.
She showed that footage with Snoop.
And I love it.
I was like, that was so cute. Because she was just laughing so much.
So that's what I'm saying. Like,
the joyousness.
You could tell she has a passion for what she does and through radio. And so all of that to me just gives her this well-rounded, like, you are one cool lady.
Yeah, and authentic,
real.
Just somebody who I feel like appreciates every moment and all the gratitude. Oof, I am a big proponent
for,
like, finding things to be happy about because, you know, there's a lot of rough things that go on in the world and you could get bogged down fast.
But tell me, you know how many people we are surrounded by that's all they talk about is what's wrong with the world. What's wrong with today? What's wrong with this generation? What's wrong? I mean, it's like you could go on and on and on, right?
Yeah.
You know, but what's interesting to me is to find those people and be surrounded by the people who are willing to be positive and think, what good can we do today? How can I lift somebody up? How can I figure out how to smile or make somebody else smile? You know, and that's like,
They're the diamonds, man. You got to find.
Come on.
Right? Every
time. I want to be around those people all the time.
Me too. I feel the exact same way. I feel like there's so many people out there who it's too easy to be nasty. You know,
it's easy, isn't it?
Yeah, just to snap at somebody and just to be ugly, honk the horn, do whatever. It's just so easy to like give in to crap. And, you know, I love how she's just like, especially learning, you know, my motto, I'm a lifelong
learner.
Always
learning.
I'm a lifelong learner. I identify as a CC. That is a curious cat. I like to learn new things. And so I do meow. So I love to do new things. I love to meet new people and just talk to people. Yes, it's the most fun. We always gravitate towards the people who are the smiling faces.
Oh, yes.
We're never finding the Debbie Downers
of the
world. But
let me tell you this right now. There are people that aren't like us.
Yes.
I was shocked. Like, I clutched my pearls when I found out there are people who don't want to talk to people who smile. Like, they're like, oh, hell no. I don't.
Yeah.
I shy away from people like that, like you. The people who are honest enough to tell me this, right? First of all, you're like, who the fuck are these people that they told you? But there are people that I was like, I just kind of pushed to be like, tell me how you operate. And they're like, oh no, I'm not that type of person. If you're going to push me, I'm going to tell you. A person that's always smiling like you, Aisha, I'm not going to walk towards you. I'm going to turn around and walk away because they don't want to be, maybe it's just not their nature to be, to want to open up. And they think the smile on my face is going to be like an instant, like, I want to talk your ear off.
Right.
But it's not. Sometimes it's just a smile like, hey, good to see you. Glad you're alive.
See, I think we're middle ground people. I think there's definitely those people who are a grinning Cheshire cat 24/7 and you feel like you're going to go to them and they're going to force the Bible on you or something where you're like, settle down, you know, like stop pressuring me to do something, right? Like they're definitely trying to sell you something or do something, right? There's definitely that group. But I think we are that middle ground because here's the deal. If you don't want to talk, I don't care. I'm not going to push you, you know, you don't need to talk to me. I don't need to talk to you. That's fine, you know, but also... I think what they actually are afraid of, I should
say. What are they afraid of?
Well, that we're like these little black holes of sweetness that like on accident, they didn't want to engage.
Oh, I gotcha.
But on accident, our little honeypots of love over here just draw them in. And then before we even know it, we've got their like bank account number. They're calling us next Tuesday. Can we please have dinner?
Right.
And we spend our time trying to untangle them off of us because they latched on like a
little monkey parasite. That's all we wanted. We wanted to just cling on to you. No, not at all. Like, absolutely not, you know.
Yeah, but how many times has it happened where we're like, we were just being friendly before we knew it? I was just saying hi. They like tried to drive us away. We're like, whoops. Yeah, it happens. Yeah. So we understand.
But I do like that about Heather. And I think it's a breath of fresh air. I mean, I think it was back then. And it continues to be the same thing now.
I adore who she has grown up to be.
Right. Yes. You know? They all grew up to be good.
All grew up. You know, okay, let's talk about this interesting little walk down memory lane that they had when they were walking down the city streets and they were going to go see Eric on the balcony, which I thought was such a funny idea.
It was great in theory.
Okay, last week, what did I say they needed to do?
I don't remember.
They needed a bonding experience. They needed you said they needed to get out of the apartment. Yes. We both said they needed a field trip to do something together, to feel like they were doing something.
Which they...
They totally did.
They totally did.
They took this little field trip together.
Eva. Here's what messed it up. The masks. Have you ever had this situation where you're trying to talk to somebody like this, where you're so far away and you're like trying to like make gestures and they have to look at your mouth?
Yes.
To see what you are saying, because if you are that far away, you can't hear shit, you know?
Yes.
So imagine you got the mask on, the masks are on.
Right.
And they're all they're doing is this.
Waving their hands. Yes. I was pantomiming, smiling.
Like the biggest smile and like a big like hand wave, but that's all they could do. And it was like, so like after 2 minutes of that, I'd be like,
Yeah. When they started walking away, I was thinking, did Eric already go into the room?
I'm just going to stand out here.
Or did he just watch like his hand binoculars watching him go?
He was watching them as they walked up and then as they walked off.
I felt terrible. That was a funny little activity, but.
But I'm glad they did.
And it was cute as they were walking down the street when they were like, remember that doorway when this happened? Remember this street, you know, corner, that kind of stuff. That it was cute. And it was nice for them to have that little remembrance, if you will. Speaking of, Julie hearkened back to their time in 92 and was trying to talk about the fact that they didn't actually hang out that much together. Were you surprised at how much she was like, y'all were already like leaving and all the time?
I think she was still salty about that.
I think she was.
I can relate. You know why?
Tell me.
You went to a school that was a big college town, right?
I did.
My school was not. So my university was not a college town at all. So it was largely with a bunch of people who drove or had cars to like leave. So the weekends, it cleared out. Oh. So I was all about the, where are you guys all going? Because I was out of state.
Oh, gosh. So, and you had no car, huh?
And I had a car, but not until.
Where are you going?
But where was I going?
Right,
you know,
right.
Until I met my boyfriend at the time that had a car.
My BF.
But before that, I just was kind of like, well, where's everybody going? Oh, we're going home. Oh, we're going to this. We're going to that, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, ah. Oh. So Julie had that same like,
Exactly.
Y'all leaving? Like, yeah. We just got out of class.
And like, they showed that footage from 92 where she was like, they were all trying to explain to her, like, we have jobs and we have, like, careers. And Eric's saying, I can't hang around here because it's going to derail me from my dreams.
That was the most asinine comment. I was like, what in the world? Derail you from your dreams?
I love that. If we had been there, would have been like, Eric, please.
I would have been like, my neck would have just snapped so quickly. Yeah, be like, is you crazy?
You like, can't just hang out here for a while. I don't see how it's derailing your dreams. Right? You have to work on your dreams minute by minute. Like, give me a break.
It kind of makes us realize we know how it feels being stuck in COVID land
and
being around even your families and things that you for so many countless hours and days and weeks that you're like, oh my God. I mean, if we put all the time that we spent together, like when nobody was going to work, nobody was like going to school, you're like, wait a minute.
We'd put a total Julie. We should say, that was the most amount of time we spent together. So that's a win.
It's a win.
I was like, when she was like, basically like,
they're all alive. That's a win.
We spent 48 like full hours together as a group. So that's a win.
I was very much positive. I was like, for real. I was like, yes, high five on that one.
That was the most like silver lining comment. I was like, oh my gosh. When she and Andre are trying to have that conversation, walking through basically Central Park and being like, what the heck, you know, with all this, what did you think about that?
I just was laughing so hard because I'm sorry. It was supposed to be a serious conversation, but yes, I just kept like focusing on Andre's hand.
Oh my God, I wrote the same thing. I was like, why is he walking with his hands folded like he was like a minister? And he was like trying not to like, you know, molest someone. Like he's keeping his hands all like, folded so sweetly. Like, what is happening?
It was the opposite of having his hands behind his back, but like, and his front. Like, it was like, if he had a belly, it would cradle it. You know what I mean? But he doesn't have a belly. So I was laughing so hard. I was just like, I hope Caroline's looking at these hands.
You knew I was. I was like, walking with his hands folded? Like, what is wrong with me? Like, okay, like, what's wrong with both of us that we're like, you should just be moving your hands side to side. Like, just sway naturally. Like, we're both like, hands folding? You freak! We're so fucking judgy.
Anyway, I'm sorry. But after the judging part.
Yeah, after you were done, you could look away from all 10 digits.
God. Lord. Okay. I just felt like he's trying to, like, help me figure this out.
I thought like, the way that he was so strong and being like, listen, Becky could have left and taken a break and come back.
Yeah, I think he's really upset about it.
I think that he was right, though. Like, I think that his viewpoint of, like, there was no reason. We said this last week. Why are you going to pack all your bags? You can be angry.
Take a break.
Take your backpack of, like, whatever you need for the next couple of hours and go to the coffee shop or go do whatever. And I don't know what's open in New York City, so to be honest with you, it's possible that when we say, just go take a walk, whatever.
Nothing was open.
Maybe there's nowhere she really could go sit that she felt safe. Mm-hmm. So maybe we can give her some leeway that, like, okay, taking your shit and leaving maybe needed to happen.
Or,
yes,
since she's bound by MTV and all of the COVID restrictions, she probably had to be quarantined since they put a whole lot of fucking time quarantining her ass before she got to film and be around all the film crew.
Ooh, you're right.
So there's no way she got to go home.
You're very, very right.
They had to scramble and pull her butt into some hotel room and keep her
right into like a hamster, a hamster ball and or tube. And
there's no way that she was like, go to this, to these streets. Yeah. You're free. No, you cannot go.
She could have just stayed in her bedroom for crying out loud and just sat and chilled. You know, one of the things when I get super stressed out, and this comes at different times in my life now, but you know what I tell myself every time?
What do you tell yourself, Caroline?
Time will pass. Just freaking chill. You know, and this comes at all different times. I could be in a situation I don't want to be in, or I feel like a situation's not unfolding the way that I had hoped it would. Regardless, the end of the night will come and everyone will leave.
It's true.
And whether it worked out or it didn't work out or I wanted to be there and I didn't want to be there, it will be all done.
That's true. Time will pass.
Time will pass.
It's a good way to think at it. Look at it.
Freaking chill. It took me a long time. Girl, some very anxious moments. Of being like, but it's like, it doesn't matter. Before you know it, time goes by so quickly. We've been talking for more than 20 minutes already, Aisha, and like, time goes by so fast. Mm-hmm. all she had to do was go take some deep breaths on her bed. Go use her energy medicine on her own head. You know, just cool it. Cool it, cool it. We have to finish out this Becky thread because it does come reeling back at the very end. Boy, what a shock when Julie says that Becky hasn't left. And in fact, Julie's going to be meeting up with her.
It was a bit like, what?
What should she have told everyone?
Yes.
Should she not? What, tell me more.
Well, I mean, interesting that she decided to disclose it then. Mm-hmm. Would she have disclosed it or not? Would she have told them that she was going to go meet her, or would she have like held off until she came back to really tell everybody? Unless Kevin had already like brought that question up to everybody.
I had no idea where Kevin was going with what he was going to say.
Do you think it was set up, that question?
Maybe, because it seems so incredibly awkward the way that
where,
he was bringing
it. Where'd
it
come from?
Up. Yeah. And I almost thought like too, like it seemed, maybe this is just because of my real world experience in season two.
Correct.
I thought there was going to be a moment where he was like, should I leave? And maybe Becky can come back in and talk to you guys. And maybe that will start to smooth her over. Oh. Maybe she'll feel more comfortable. Because that was kind of the stitch with, or season two with David and Tammy and stuff. There was a lot of like,
oh,
I'll come
Lord,
in
yes.
and talk now, but he can't be
come
here.
Back here. Oh,
but
that
she
was,
can come in and then she can't be here. So my brain was
oh,
going
Lord,
to that.
I forgot about that. Yeah.
Oh God, this is such a scene. I've watched that whole season too.
I need to watch it again.
You should
y'all.
Watch it. It's good stuff. Okay. But the whole thing is that.
And I love Tammy. I still follow her right now. I
love her. Yeah. So the whole thing about like, what was he about to say was like more tension to me than when Julie says, oh no, I have contacted her and we're meeting up. I was like, cool. But then when you saw the faces of everyone else, I was like, oh, not cool.
Not cool. Nobody knows. They've cool. all been in that same house all day. This is what bothers me. I don't like shit like this. And this happens all the time. And you know it because I've.
It happens amongst
about it.
Women mostly.
Yes. Where you will all be in the same motherfucking room right. or house or whatever you want to call it.
Hotel room.
Resort.
Yes.
Whatever. And some shit goes down and everybody's tight-lipped until it comes out. And you're like, wait a minute. You had all day.
And that's why you've been salty this whole time.
I
didn't even
all
know.
Day.
I didn't even know you were salty. We didn't go see doing yesterday.
We could have talked about this.
Yeah, we could have gone see doing if it was going to be such a big deal.
We could have all been on this text message with Becky.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I also get like, because Julie is also a peacemaker like I am. I bet you Julie's a Libra. I need to look it up.
Yeah, please.
I bet she's a peace because she's a peacemaker. And I think she wanted to try and fix this.
I think
herself.
She thought she could smooth it over enough.
Without.
However, vastly overlooking the relationships that already existed.
Mm-mm.
So she.
Norman is pissed.
Yes. When he said, I could care a flying fuck about her. Well, she is done.
They're really dramatic with each other.
Flying fuck. Flying fuck. That's like one of my favorite lines.
A flying fuck. He's like, because he's like, look, I texted that bitch. She hasn't responded to me. And you're meeting up with her? That would be like, that's like a slap.
It's a wicked slap. I mean, a huge slap. And it's like, for Norman's sake, I mean, now that we're going to get into Norm's story and we're going to talk about where he is in his stage of life, we can understand why he's raw right now. He is so raw.
This poor guy just has been through the ringer. Like, and I feel terrible that like, let me just, I don't want to like bring down the room, but like, but this, the story for him is what a lot of people in America are going through and over the world, all over the world, right?
Right.
Where COVID has destroyed their revenue streams, you know, somehow. It could be a business, it could be personal, it could be whatever it is, but your revenue or your livelihood has been destroyed by this pandemic and there's nothing you can do about it.
I saw a thing where it was like, it said, for the people who work in hospitality specifically, there was a sign up that said, you know how on the Titanic, when it was sinking and the band played on, that's where we are right now.
Oh, God. That gives
like,
me
the world is sinking and we're still serving you coffee, trying to act like nothing's happening.
Right. Exactly.
You know?
That's
and it
true.
Does. It gives you like chills because it's like, and the band played on and everyone's trying to act like just eat your fries outside and it'll be fine.
Yep.
But it's all melting. Like, yeah. So I feel you so much. And you're right. He had so many revenue streams.
So I was like, so I wrote hustler.
Yes.
That was my way to describe him because I was
in
like,
in the best possible way.
So he was, you know, he started as an artist, then moved to adaptive laptop stands. Is that what we're calling it?
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah. And he actually had
a patent and a whole.
And the fact that he went over to China and was trying to get it mass produced, which having watched enough Shark Tank, I can tell you that portion of trying to get your cost down on your original product there and trying to get it out of manufacturing and get it out of China.
You're like, let me tell you.
Let me just tell you, Mr. Wonderful and all of them got to work with your ass because it is hard to do. It is hard to do. And I just watched this one where a man said he slept in the factory day and night for 4 days just trying to be boots on the ground, trying to talk to people. He wouldn't let it go. He wouldn't leave until it was let this happen already. You know
that's somebody's dream.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that's the thing. And of course with Norm, maybe he would have stayed in China, but obviously with the way that everything shut down and you can't travel different places, he was stuck and working
and
in
his,
a bakery.
And his products weren't able to come over.
Yes.
So then he moves to this bakery where he basically is his family had to come. Excuse me. He moves back to Michigan. His family is taking care of him. He's working with his cousins.
Yeah.
This is serious.
Especially how many times he took in others. We talked about that in a previous podcast. But if you look back over at the second or third little get-togethers that they had past 92, there was a little get-together in 93. They talked about how Julie came out and stayed with Norm. Becky came out and stayed with Norm. He has been a little safe haven for people. And the fact that he no longer even has the house there. And in fact, it's being liquidated as they're all sitting there.
Wow.
That was such an insane experience that he has friends over there trying to literally be do you want these shoes? Do you want these pants? I'd be like, please just put all my stuff in boxes.
But he must have been... You know, that tells you the type of man he was, that he kept it all to himself. He didn't ask for help, you know?
Yeah.
I think he was just I'm going to work. I'm going to figure it out. Why didn't he ask, Miss Becky on the house in the south of France?
He could have gone lived in the south of France, couldn't he?
You know,
taking
or
some laps around the pool.
Something, you know what I mean? I'm sure he had friends with money that he probably could have asked for loans and figured it out. But he just doesn't seem like that type of guy, especially even the fact that he didn't bring all this up at the beginning. If he was some sort of attention whore.
Yeah.
He'd be like, guys,
day one,
I'm poor. And let me tell you why,
which I do have to say, I want to say that I apologize because I teased about his clothes in the first episode saying that
we all
kind of
didn't
know
why.
It made no sense. I'm glad that we at least picked up on the context clues of this isn't what Norm would wear if he had the choice,
right? Exactly.
And we were right.
Yeah,
that part too, when he went to go walk down the street to go see Eric, I am about 95% sure he was wearing a New York fire department jacket.
I wrote construction worker.
I think it was it looked like a firefighter's jacket. I was like, what is this that he's wearing?
I was so confused.
It was almost did a crew member have that? And they were like, Norm, you got to wear a coat. It's cold, man.
I don't know. It's another style.
It's from Michigan. So, it's cold there. You'd think you've got a
coat. Maybe there's a construction style.
I don't know.
We're not up on. It was terrible, though.
It played to the whole he must not have access to his wardrobe. And when he actually said it, I wouldn't wear these if I had access to all my clothes and everything. And I
that
was
is
like,
just, yeah.
Oh, that hurts my heart. I teased you on that.
When we had no idea, and I'm sure everybody that watched was just confused, you know?
Because
you don't expect. I guess this is a good realization for people. Just because you're on a TV show, just because you may be recognized somewhere, does not mean you have gads and gads of money stashed away somewhere and you're living this extravagant life.
Right.
It can mean that you are making pierogies in the bakery.
When he said he was laying on his back and there's only one way to look when you're laying on your back. And I was like, oh my God, Norm. Yeah.
Norm, you're the best.
What did you think of this? How do I want to call it? Coming out party for Norm and his art.
I immediately thought of you because I was like, or us, really. I feel like anytime we have a friend in need, let's say, that has an issue, that has I've got to... Say someone's lost their job, say something's gone on in their life, they're getting a divorce or anything, God forbid happens, a death in their family. We tend to problem solve, right?
Yes.
What can we do? Do we need to have a garage sale? Is usually the first.
Right. What can we sell and get
some
extra money?
That's our first thing.
It's true.
You know, what can we sell? What's our second thing? You know, it's like, it's always like that. But
somehow get the money.
It's somehow get the money. And that's what they did. They all were like, all right, what's your Twitter handles? Right. What's your social media accounts? What's your value? Let's get to painting. Let's start monetizing what you know how to do to get the trucks to bring the stuff that's going to make you the money. Like, brilliant.
I really thought that when Kevin was like, so you need a truck in LA, like that's what you need, Norman. If the next episode doesn't have Kevin talking about how he organized a truck, I am going to be just utterly confused about why.
Because it was like, why did you say that?
And so clearly, like, let me be clear. You need a truck.
Yeah.
And it was like, okay. And it never brought up again, like whether or not a truck ever arrives, meh. But I think the next one, I loved when they said that Norman was like feeling the energy with like Andre playing guitar and Julie and Heather and Kevin and everyone like working on tweeting and filming him and doing all that. Like it all felt so sweet and almost like having a friend go with you to like go get the art supplies.
Yes.
Like, Julie actually walked with him and talked with him.
Yeah.
How much of a gift is it to give your time like that?
Yeah.
You know, let me just walk with you. I don't know shit about painting.
But I'm going to go with you and help. Yeah.
Yeah. But I can hold the canvases. Yeah. I can do whatever. Like, that is...
Those are real friends.
And it's genuine business.
Yeah. And I loved it.
I loved when Norm, like, looked around and was like, why didn't we paint more back in the day?
Oh, my gosh.
He's so sweet.
Sounds like something you'd say, especially with... With all the Mod Podging.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. So do you think he's going to raise the $5,000? What do you think?
Absolutely. He's going to raise more.
Here's the thing. I think he's going to raise more. And also, I really was like, again, you know our hustler hearts. I was like, buy a bunch of plain canvases. Have your roommates sign the back of all of them.
Yeah.
And just over the course of the next year, sell any art you create on the front of those canvases with everyone's names on it.
Yeah.
Like that will sell for so much more.
Memorabilia.
Yes. And like, you know, a place and time kind of thing. Like, you know, you watched all these people sign it on
people
TV.
People buy the freaking buffs from Survivor. Okay. Like, you know
it's
what I mean?
Hysterical. Yes.
This is like, would be like a signed piece of art.
By everybody. Yeah. Minus perhaps Becky. Yeah. But maybe she'll be back. We don't know.
Let's talk about Becky.
Let's make some predictions.
Predictions.
Okay? Let's go with it. All right. So I'm going to tell you a name and you just give me like some, it'll be like association.
Oh, shit.
Okay? All right. Ready? Julie.
Friend.
That's kidding. give me like a what's your gut instinct of like
what are we playing? I don't know
what's her next. She only got two episodes left.
What she's gonna do.
So what's her little arc end here? What we got?
So Julie, she's just going to be the mediator. I feel like she's gonna be the mediator through with Becky and Kevin, excuse me. So she's gonna be the mediator.
Okay.
And with Norman.
I see that. Yes. Yes.
I don't think that everybody else, I think Andre and Heather are kind of like,
I think they'll be cool.
We'll be fine with like, whatever is going on. Yeah. Just as long as you get your shit together.
Yeah. Get your shit together.
You know, you get your shit together. We go be over here. Like, that would be me. I'd be over there with Heather. Like,
get your shit, put it in the back. Get it together.
And then get it together. And then I'll be here.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's mediator is my.
Okay, I like that. Okay, prediction. What about, let's say, Kevin?
Kevin, I feel like, is not going to let her off the hook.
Good.
She's not. He's going to speak his truth. He's going to stand firm on it. And I think he's going to try and really help her see what she's missing. If she's willing to listen.
I hope that that's so true. I am hoping that Kevin finds a way to speak to her. And I know this is unfair to put that much responsibility on the Kevin side.
Right.
However, I would say we have put a great deal of emphasis on the listen for Becky. So I want to put some emphasis on Kevin. Like, please find the words
the right
that you
words.
Think are going to penetrate.
Right.
Whatever they are. I know it's a lot to put on someone to say, can you find the right key, basically, to unlock Becky? That's not fair and that shouldn't be put on him. But it would be a wonderful miracle. The whole going back to leave room for miracles. It'd be a miracle if he found a way to explain it to her that she could hear him.
But look at Kevin's face. Do you see his, like... I feel like he's kind of like, he's got a little anguish about it. Like it's bothering him.
I think it is bothering him because I think that he fancies himself a conversationalist, someone who can communicate and get through to people.
Yeah.
So I think like any of us, we believe that we could probably persuade people. If we walk up to somebody and it's like a stone wall, they can be quite a puzzle to us.
Yeah, that's like, hard for me.
Why can't you hear what I'm saying?
That's like, very hard for me, actually.
Very hard for
me. I would be the person like noodling it all night long.
Yeah.
Like, okay, how do I attack this in a different way?
Yeah. Because I'm not getting through to them and it matters to me all of a sudden. Maybe it didn't even matter to me that much when we started, but now they got to know my POV and why it matters.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I need some amount of validation that they at least just heard, whether they believed and agreed or not. Okay. But just please don't block me out. You know,
that's
kind of my biggest, like, that's a good way to make me crazy.
Yeah, me too. I'm with you on that. I would drive my ass crazy.
I think it would, yeah. All right, so let's say, I'm going to say that Andre and Heather, they kind of go together right now.
What do you think about Norman then?
Norm. I think that Norm, I hope, will find his way back with Becky. Maybe she will offer to help him. And maybe that will be the olive branch between the two of them. You know, maybe she'll say, you know, actually, I can help facilitate something. I don't know. And I don't even know if that's the right way to do it. Because I don't
think
know
she's
if
just
that's
going,
just like paying him off, you know?
No, I don't think he even needs that. I think all he needs is a big hug.
Oh.
I really do. I think he's just, all he needs is a sorry and I love you and a hug.
Yeah.
And he's going to be like, I love you too.
Oh, I guess.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, she's stuck in her own head and this is all being televised and hopefully he'll understand that part.
Question before we leave. What did you think about Norman? I know we're going back, but it made me think of this. How Norman was like talking to Kevin about, I just don't want her to be seen as another Karen when this airs. Like, remember we talked about it being aired and all that, you know, and how they're like very, very, focused. You know, aware of how this is going to play itself out on TV.
Yeah.
That to me is like, he is a true friend. Like, if you are caring about your friend, like, look. Here's what's going on.
Acting a fool.
You acted a fool.
Everyone's going to say you're a fool.
You're showing your ass. And as your friend, a real friend
throws their body over your ass.
Exactly. I will throw myself over your bare ass.
Yes.
Pick your ass up.
Yeah.
And tell you can't be a Karen. You cannot do this.
I think
you are not
fair.
This person, and I'm trying to save you from yourself.
Yeah, we don't want a Becky to be a thing.
It already is.
I know it already is, but you know what I mean.
Like, let's not resurface.
No,
basic Becky's coming back, but a different way, right? You know,
a twist on the basic twist, Becky.
It's like a terrible name. So apropos right now. But Norm. He loves her to death. I really do think they're good friends. Yeah. I think they're just having a tiff. Some of those words that they're saying to each other are really like harsh, but I don't think they really mean them. So I think
they're so harsh. I think that they're meaningless.
Right. Which is a very strange thing to say, but you're exactly right.
But it kind of is like when you go so far,
you're like, I hate you, fucking bitch. Please die.
Then it's like,
you're like, that means you really, you want me to die? You want me to die right now?
Can't
okay.
Hear anything
no. Right. So you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that's what it is. And so it's all just hot air. And when she just gets her shit together, she packs the bag and gets it all together, says sorry, gives him a big hug, I love you, it's going to be over with them. So that's kind of my prediction for them.
Okay, so do you think that Becky has any real shot at, in only two more episodes, we only have two more hours,
two more.
For her
what?
To come through this and actually show some growth? Or do you think maybe right now, a producer is sitting there with her? Because this happens. We have seen this. Okay, there's so many reality shows. Like, I'm going to go back to, like, Wife Swap, where, like, the spouse would be so freaking against whatever the thing was.
Right.
And then suddenly they'd come back the next day and they'd be like, I'm open to change.
Right.
Because sometime in the night, a producer said, you signed this contract.
Yes.
You said you would do this. Your family's making money. Hold up your end on camera or else.
Right. Look.
So I'm kind of curious if some producer is being like, it is in your best interest to come on here and bite your tongue and do whatever you need to say. I would love some sincere growth out of Becky, but I don't know if 2 days.
I don't. It's hard for me to give any like absolutes, you know.
Yes.
I don't ever say never on things. So it's possible that somebody could have some growth in a short amount of time. However, all these years and you still don't know. I don't know.
I don't know.
I'm hesitant to believe that it's all going to just work out. I think they're all going to get to a place where they're cordial.
That seems probably the most reasonable.
But I believe that the people in that house will know where the work needs to be done.
I like that. I like that very much. One last person that we didn't talk about, and we did talk about last week about whether or not he would show his little face. But do you think Enies has any opportunity to show up in hazmat suit and try to give out some high fives or something? Or do you think like he's got to stay in that hotel room?
He just had a fever.
He just had a fever, y'all.
He ain't going nowhere. Like he said, you guys are all going to leave and he's still going to be in that fucking hotel room.
How weird is that? That is probably the weirdest part.
He's going to be. He did. Ugh, I know it.
So weird.
So sad.
He just has to sit there. Messy, messy situation.
Look, for us, you know what? I would have been like.
That's the real world.
Actually. That's the real world. But hell, if I could have recovered in a hotel room when I had COVID.
Yeah.
I would have been like, yes.
That would have been a real bone eye situation, huh?
Yes.
We're so glad that you recovered so easily. And yes, hopefully Enies will also recover. Yes. I think that, that pretty much wraps up this one. I know when you came in to record with me tonight, you were like, this one was boring, yo.
It's just a little mundane.
It was a little thin on the plot. I appreciated everything we were doing with Norman. And I look forward to see if social media has more buzz about him. Because to be honest with you, I didn't see a gigantic buzz for him. So I very much hope that he earns the $5,000 that he was looking to earn.
Norman Corpy.
Yes. Please, you guys, go check it
out. Check it out.
It's very worth it. Norm, if you were not charging $5,000, I would absolutely have one of those chocolate bunnies.
I think it was $1,000.
Yes, $1,000. You're correct. If he wasn't charging $1,000.
Still, not that you have $1,000.
It was pretty small. Pretty small.
So. Can we get one more reasonable when you hit it big, Norm? Yeah.
When you're ready to do, what do they do? Those prints? When they're ready to do like a print?
Right, yes.
I'll take just like a print and I'll hang it because I would love it. I loved how you signed his name in blue paint. Somehow that really struck my little creative soul. Mm-hmm. I was like, you, Norman.
It looked great. I loved it.
I loved the whole thing. Well, you guys, we are ready for next week. We're already at episode 5, Aisha. Yeah, something's got to happen. They need like a fire drill. Okay, so we predicted the field trip.
Yes.
Of this episode. What are we due for? We got to be due for a big meal. Doesn't a big meal seem right?
Well, they've been having big meals. It looks like Heather's cooking. Maybe. Norm cooked his little, what are those things? Like, are those calzones or what were they?
They looked like some sort of like stuffed meat. Like it could have been
gigantic samosas, but I don't know. Because it kind of.
Like cabbage and ground beefish stuff. Oh. Like Italian and more than that, Polish, Lithuanian. Polish, yeah, for sure. There's a version of that. It's like a pierogi type thing. But this one was like a bread that was stuffed. So yeah.
But they had like ketchup with it. So like what were you dipping?
Maybe it's probably marinara sauce. Not ketchup.
Oh, I thought I saw somebody squeezing
a bottle.
It
totally could have been ketchup. It totally could have been. But you know people put ketchup on steak, girl. So
girl, you know these white people.
I got nothing. Oh, my God.
Just kidding, guys.
This is Caroline.
And this is Aisha.
Thanks so much for listening. Please make sure you rate, review, subscribe over at Pod Clubhouse on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. 5 stars, people. Or we're going to squirt you up with ketchup.
Or marinara.
Thank you for listening. This has been an original Pod Clubhouse production. Pod Clubhouse is a podcast network dedicated to encouraging collaboration among podcasters and friends to bring a fresh voice and diverse perspective on a wide array of content. Please visit and leave a comment for us at podclubhouse.com. Rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast feeds on Apple Podcasts. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. You can find us at Pod Clubhouse. Our DMs are always open, and we'd love to hear from you.